So you guys, if you weren't here on last Sunday, we started the whole year out with the most important question ever. Jesus saying, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? He had asked before that, hey, what's the word on the street? What do people say about me, the Son of Man? And he was proclaiming himself Messiah by saying that, by the way. Check it out in the book of Daniel. One that looked like the Son of Man, the Son of Man. It's a messianic or Savior, Christ announcement. And he said, who do people say I am? Oh, one of the prophets. And basically, that was the main answer, is one of the prophets, all of them who are dead and to come back to life somehow. And then he goes, all right, but what about you guys? Who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. You are the Holy God in the flesh. And he's like, good answer. That wasn't given to you by any homie. That was given to you by God. And there's a lot of other times where people had proclaimed that, but it was usually after a big, huge event where he did something that was praiseworthy in that way. But this was the only time that he had asked for the proclamation. Who do you say I am? And when he gave it, he accepted it. He says, you're right. And that's from God. And unless you think Peter had it all together, not too shortly after that, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Because he blew it. And Jesus still loved him. And he still loves us. I want to remind you to keep giving at, into, and through Crosswater. This is an expression of worship, not the church, worshiping the church, but worshiping our God by giving our resources for his kingdom here, there, and everywhere. Keep doing so, please. So I want to ask you, how often do you focus on what Jesus said? Do you do it like when you're at church? Do you do it during your Bible study time, or what some people have called a quiet time? Do you do it when you're memorizing scripture? Do you do it all the time because you just love God's word and you're in it and you're hearing him and you're thinking about him and Jesus said is like, man, that's how I live my life. Well, this whole year you're going to have a chance to have a lot of different exercises in what Jesus said. And I told you that we're going to spend the next so many weeks looking at what Jesus said. I should say that this way. Who Jesus said he was. Because what we say is important. What he says is the most important. He didn't ask, hey, who do you think I am, so he could get an identity. He asked, who do you say I am? Because that changes everything for us if he is who he says he is. So let's look at who he said he was. And we'll start with, I am. If you're not familiar with that, I'm going to explain it just a little bit. But this idea of I am comes from all the way back in the book of Exodus. And so join me there, will you? Exodus 3, and we'll go 13 through 15. Moses was a man that was born in captivity. He was born to a mother and father who were observant Jewish people in Egypt. And God had brought them to Egypt, and they had been there for a long time at this point, almost 400 years. Well, pretty much exactly 400 years. And it was all prophesied that this was going to happen and that they would be delivered. And God shows up to Moses, who was raised in the palace of Pharaoh, as a Jew, but he was adopted. And he learned all kinds of different things as a basically grandson, if you will, of Pharaoh. But he didn't want that, and he gave that up. And he did it in a really poor way. He killed an Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew. And then he hid him in the sand. But you can be very sure your sin will find you out, and it did. And he ran like a bunny, and he was gone for 40 years. and he became a shepherd. And one day he goes up on this mountain and he sees the craziest thing. He sees a bush that's burning and yet it's not burnt up. And he's like, what is going on? And God speaks to him through there. He's like, first of all, take off your sandals. This is holy ground. I got some words for you. You're going to set my people free. You're going to go back to Egypt. And there's a lot there. He's like, what? But this is where we pick up where we get this name I am from, which is all at once a verb and a noun. And so he says, look, if I go to these people, I was gone for a while, 40 years. I'm going to show up again. And I'm going to tell them, God says, let's go. And then I have to go to Pharaoh and all that. But who do I say to my people what your name is? Who do I say you are? And so I'll pick that up again right here, verse 13 of Exodus 3. And Moses says to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? This was a very, very human question. What's your name? They're going to want to know. Because gods get followed all over the place. And the names say something about who they are and what they do. Who do I say you are? God said to Moses, I am who I am, or I am what I am, or I will be what I'll be. But I am what I am, who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. The Lord, and that was a new name, right, that now never knew to him but knew to us. The Lord, when you see the all caps in your English Bible, that's Yahweh. I am the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, so always been their God. God of Jacob has sent me to you. Angie, got a word for you. Your daddy knows this. That's not necessarily a comforting word, but it should be an encouraging somewhere down the line that he, understanding all the Hebraic roots of this faith, he's going to know that those people were mentioned specifically. And he's a living God. And I believe that your dad will know that. I'm not telling you he's going to be saved. That's not my job. But I do believe that he is going to have every opportunity which he's already had. This is my name forever. And thus, I am to be remembered throughout all generations. This is who I am. So it's Yahweh. You see this WH, or excuse me, YHWH. This is self-existent verb noun actively causing things to happen. He was, he is, and he always will be. This is who he says. Tell him that the God I am sent you. So what's in a name? Why do people name things? Why do people name their kids? Why do they name the names that they name them? What do you guys think? Because it means something. Good. What else? What do you guys think? There you go. There's identity there. Even more, right, Ben? What you hope they will be, Ben says. I mean, as funny as that sounds, God's like, I'll give you a name. I am. He's describing his character, his very nature. He's self-existent. My mother named me Aaron Paul. When I was born, her cousin called her up the night I was born, called her a bad name, and hung up on her. Okay? her cousin had picked out the names Aaron Paul when she was little and wanted to name her first son Aaron Paul. My mom beat her to the punch. She was 18 when she had a baby, and she stole the name. Good news, down the road, they reconciled, and she never had a boy. So there we go. Everything is like a Disney flick. It just ends great. But here's what happened. My mom didn't know what Aharon meant in Hebrew. She didn't know what Paul meant. She just liked how they went together. I was born Aaron Paul Lagerquist. My dad adopted me when I was 7, gave me a new name, and that was Day. Saved me a lot of money on the back of uniforms. Lagerquist means like short twig. I'm kind of a short twig. Pretty appropriate at that point. But what's in a name? There's purpose, there's value, there's identity. Aaron means bringer of light. Paul means small light. Day, well, I didn't pick any of those names for me. I mean, technically, I guess I chose Day because I said, yeah, I want to be adopted. But I didn't think about any of this. And I can't be a bringer of light without the light source himself giving it to me. I am definitely a lesser light, and by the grace of God, I get to bring light to dark places. What's in your name? Some people will say, look, I was named poorly, and so I want a different name. And I will say, for us as humans, it's not always what we're called is what we'll answer to. And what does God call you? It's another message for another time, but it's something to think about. Meaning, purpose, revealing nature and character. That's why when we say Christian and not that kind of Christian. It's Christ one who is in Christ, little Christ. This is a big time name for God's followers. But his name means present, active, always. And so we found this out in Matthew 1:21 during the whole Christmas time, in Luke 1:31, that Jesus was named Jesus by an angel. He was given his name before he was even in the womb. This name, Jesus, Yeshua, is Yahweh. With the verb saves. Yahweh saves. Good name for a savior. The savior. But here's a question that many, many, many people go for. And many, many, many people have answers for. Did Jesus ever say he is God? Did he ever say, yeah, I'm God? I don't know if you ever watch movies, Marvel movies. There's this one in particular, Iron Man, where Tony Stark is up at a podium and he's saying, look, what do you want me to try to say that I'm Iron Man? I'm Iron Man. And then he just gets out there and all these, and all of his people are like, what are you doing? Do you know how complicated you just made our lives? Did Jesus ever have a moment at the podium where he said, I'm God? Is somebody preaching right now? Hallelujah, lady. That is so good. He actually didn't just say, I'm God. He said it in tons of ways. Like Dana said right there, and we'll get into that, and you can read that verse when we get there. That'll be wonderful. It was you that said that, right? Your voice is so distinct. I was hoping I was right. I'm not just losing my hair. I'm losing my mind. So, good. He said, and this is where I'm going to Greek out for a second. He said, ego ami. In the Greek, that's I am. 24 different times in the book of John, he says, ego ami. It starts with the first way of saying it that we would understand it. Like somebody says, hey, are you Craig? Yeah, I am. It's me. He says that a couple of different times. Only one other person says, I am, in all of the book of John. And we'll get to that in a second. But there's also a ton of times where he just flat out claims divinity. I am. The Hebrew would be Yahweh. And then for the next 6 weeks after this, we're going to look at how he describes his divinity with the title I am. You might remember that in the Bible, there's a ton of people that are named a ton of different things. And gosh, if you get into Hosea, he named his kids some horrendous things. But it's kind of this description of what Israel was like. And then like Jacob, right? Meant heel grabber or deceiver, liar. Tough name to name your kid. Then there's any Jakes in the house, you don't have to live by that. But he changed his name to Israel, my warrior. I got you. I'm changing your name. You wrestled with God. But the Yahweh, and it was like Yahweh Yireh and Yahweh Rophi, Yahweh Kadesh, like, I am holy. I am a warrior. I am a healer. I am provider. He described himself. And we'll be looking at those, like I said, for the next 6 weeks. So the next few minutes that we have, we're going to look at the it's me verses really quick. Then we're going to spend more time on the I am. Before Abraham was born, I am. He didn't speak bad English. Friend, he didn't speak English. He understands English. He's God. He's got it all figured out. But he was speaking Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. We've written things out in Latin, and he probably understood Latin because of Rome. But we're going to go first to John 4:26, where Jesus is meeting with a woman at the well. She goes there during the day. The middle of the day, it's the hottest spot of the day. Nobody goes to the well during the middle of the day. Unless they're trying to get away from things, and she was trying to get away. She had a bad reputation. They have this conversation, and he speaks truth into her life, and he proclaims some things that she never told him because she didn't know him. And she's like, oh, I can see you're a prophet. And he's like, oh, I'm actually way more than that. And she's going back and forth. They're having kind of a spiritual discussion slash debate about the Samaritans and the Jews and where they're supposed to worship. And she says, well, I know that the Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he's going to straighten all this out. And he said to her, it's me. I who speak to you. Am he. Ego of me. Here I am. Another time. The only other time in the whole book of John, John 9, a man is born blind, comes to Jesus. Jesus comes to him. He sees that he's blind. He makes mud pies, puts them on his eyes. Kind of seems mean. Like, dude, he was born blind, and now you're going to put mud in his eye? That's rough. Even if you're blind, most of the time you can have some kind of feeling in your eye. Then Jesus goes, hey, go wash it out. No, duh. I'll wash it out. But he goes through this process. Jesus could have just said, you can see. You get a car, and you get a car. I mean, he could have done whatever, right? But he literally does this process, and the man goes, washes, gets healed. It's a great story. Check it out in John 9. People are starting to trip. They're like, wait a minute. Is this the guy that was born blind? And they start asking all these questions. Some said, yeah, it's him, verse 9. Others said, nobody's like him. Because they all look alike, apparently. But he kept saying, it's me. Ego of me. I am. I mean, it's me. And he says it again. But now for the divinity claims that many, many people debate. Look, I think we need to be ready for that. We need to be able to give an answer to those who ask about the hope that we have. We could be apologetics, defenders of the faith, and that's wonderful and all that. But there are people that have answers like, I don't really know. Jesus never really said he was God. Here you go. Take these. Chew on them. Talk about them. Bring them out. John 6 is where we're going to go for the first time. Jesus just fed the 5,000. Everybody's like, yeah, the Messiah's here. He's the king. We're going to make him the king by force. Can we just talk about that for 1 second? We're going to make him the king. He either is or he isn't. Can you make somebody be your king? They tried that way back, the very first king they had. Saul. He gets picked, and instead of being out there up front where he's going to be anointed, I'll be off the screen for a second, he's literally hiding in the baggage. Quick little message for some of you. Don't hide in your baggage. That's not who you are. You don't have to be. So he's hiding, and then they get him and make him the king, and he's a chump. And so they're trying to make him the king, and Jesus sees this because, well, he's God. I mean, the cat's out of the bag. I buried the lead. I think Jesus is God. But so he says, all right, you guys, get in the boat. Catch me on the other side. I'm going to dismiss this crazy crowd. And then he goes up and he prays by himself up a mountain. And then he gets out and he walks on the water. We'll pick that up. John 6, 16. I will say this. I love Matthew's description of this. He describes this in sweet detail. Mark does it too. Both of them would have had not only access to Peter, but Matthew had access to the whole entire thing because he was in the boat. And after all of this, in Matthew, they worship him. In Mark, they're just like, what just happened? Can't believe this. They're astounded, and their hearts were a little bit hard. It's just kind of a weird combo. But in John, he just kind of succinctly puts this together. Listen. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, started across the sea to Capernaum, or Capernaum, whatever way you want to say that word. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, I just point this out really quick, John, the author of this book, is a fisherman. Lifelong. His daddy was, and his daddy's daddy, all the way through. So, when they had rowed for about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. Matthew says, they go, it's a ghost! They were freaked out. But he said to them, it is I. That is how we translate ego a me in English. He says, I am. Don't be afraid. Jesus never claimed to be God. Yeah, he did. Right there. Let's go to John 8. Lots of stuff is happening by this time. As a matter of fact, whatever you believe about the woman caught in adultery, this is where John 8 starts with that. And he forgives her. I'm not condemning you, but go and sin no more. He says he's the light of the world. We'll do more on that in the next few weeks. But in verse 21, we catch him getting questioned hardcore. So he says to them again, I'm going away, and you'll seek me, and you'll die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So the Jews, this is the leaders of the Jews. All these people were Jewish. So these, the Jews, when you see that in your Bible, it's the leaders of the Jews. The capital J for Jews. So the Jews said, will he kill himself? Since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. I guarantee you that some of them are like, I hope he does kill himself. Because we know that they ended up wanting him dead. And he says to them, you're from below. I am from above. If you're looking for a subtle claim to divinity, you won't find it because that's pretty straightforward. But he doesn't say, I am God. And it's like, you're from here, I'm from there. Where is there? Just, I mean, help me out here. What? Okay, cool. Just making sure we're still together. For unless you believe, I jumped ahead. I'm from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, I could give you a Greek lesson, but I'd have to read somebody's lesson on that. But I'll say they didn't have he. That little participle, they didn't add that. English adds that. He said, unless you believe that I am Yahweh, ego ami, you will die in your sins. Does that sound like somebody who's not sure who he is? Now, we know this about how C.S. Lewis's mind worked and all that, that people can say Jesus is somebody, but he's not the somebody. Well, he couldn't teach and say the things he was if he was just a good teacher. Because then he would be weird and wrong. He's saying, I am the Lord. So Lewis says it like this. He's either a lunatic, crazy. I'm like a poached egg when he's saying I am. Or he's a liar, which would make him not a good teacher. I mean, there's a lot of people that teach that are liars, but you don't get told over centuries that you're this great teacher or have that proclaimed about you if you're a liar. Or he's the Lord, who he says he is. We got to deal with that. And some of you are here like, this is all English and Greek and Hebrew. It's all just weird. Or he's just making it clear. Verse 25 is next. And here's another proclamation of divinity. I love this so much. He says this to him, unless you believe I am, you'll die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Good question. I mean, that's what we're talking about, right? He says, just what I've been telling you from the beginning. And I don't just think he means from the beginning of our conversation here, friends. From the very beginning. I have much to say to you and much to judge. That should have been a pucker moment for all of them. But he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I've heard from him. They didn't understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. They would have understood the Father's name to be I am, Yahweh. So Jesus says to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, this is crazy. This is not just like, yay, the Messiah is here, lifted up, or put him on your shoulders and have a parade. When you've crucified the Messiah, then you will know, ego ami. Then you will know I am he. You will know I am. And that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone, For I always do the things that are pleasing to him. May we be more like Jesus. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Then they're starting to, thick-headed as they are, the rest of the passage until we get to what Dana had said. And Dana, are you down for reading that for us? John 8, 56 through 59. Great. Go ahead and get yourself ready. And then I'm just give you this little bit. They have this debate back and forth. Like, you, what? You think you're God? Okay, you got it now. Good. You're picking up on that. He'd said I am in multiple ways. And then verse 56. Go ahead all the way through 59, Dana. Thank you. Thank you, Dana. Wait a minute. So you've seen Abraham? You're not even 50. And he's like, look, before Abraham was born, ego and me. I am. I exist. I'm self-existent. I am God. Then they're like, oh my goodness. They wanted to kill him. Why? What did somebody say? They thought it was blasphemy. What's blasphemy mean, Jeffrey? Thinking you're God. Saying something that's inaccurate about God. Proclaiming authority that is only God's. And giving it to anybody else. And they had a ton of lists on these things. It was not some one-off statement that he was feeling real good about himself. And he said, you know what? I'm God. I feel pretty good about it. He said it over and over again. The final one that we'll look at this morning, John 18, 3 through 8. I have 3 through 6 on the screen. Rereading it this morning, I was like, nah, I want to go to 8. Here we go. This is the night Jesus was betrayed. Judas shows up. I'll just read it to you. Judas, having procured, I love that, he went ahead and got himself a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees. He went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. They came in hot. Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, stepped up, came forward, and he said to them, whom do you seek? He didn't run. He stepped up. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, ego a me. I am. I'm he. Again, that's for our benefit, us English speakers, that he is added, I am he. Yahweh. Judas, who betrayed them, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, I am, they drew back and fell to the ground. They came in hot with weapons and lanterns. They were the authority. But were they? He came in, stepped up to them, said, I am, and they fell down. That for me and you, as people who would be delusionally saying we're God, or we're just following somebody that we think is God, that'd be the time for us to go. They're on the ground. Run! Jesus doesn't do that. He asks them again, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know how their voices were, but Jesus answered, I told you, ego of me. So if you seek me, let these men go. No one takes my life from me. I'm God. I lay it down of my own accord. You guys, I don't have time to explain to you grammar very well. Grammar very well. See? Told you. I don't want to tell you that what we're going to look at for the next 6 weeks, okay, is a powerful lesson in grammar. I am is the verb and the pronoun. But what we hear him say he is describes it. It's called a predicate nominative. It's a noun that describes or expresses the verb. Okay? It helps understand there's a subject, and this is what the subject does or who the subject is. God gave so many names in the Old Testament, and Jesus gives a bunch right here in the book of John. And so we're going to look at them. I'm going to list these for you really, really super fast. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door to the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. We're combining the door to the sheep and good shepherd together. The rest were taken individually. This describes his divinity, and these are the rest of the ego and me's that we'll be looking at. So how do you get closer to this great I am? What's the next step for you? How do you draw nearer to Jesus? You don't get to be him, so don't worry about that pressure. You get to be like him. You get to be nearer to him. So how are you going to do that? How are you going to move towards him? As you see on the screen, it's your move now with what you've heard. Some of you, the simple thing is that you need to proclaim that he is and you're not. You need to say, you're God, I'm not. I confess it, you're God. Forgive me for trying to do that. Thank you for dying and rising from the dead. And you will be saved, it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Some of you need to get to know him better. You've proclaimed all that, but you've left the Bible out. You've left fellowship out. You've left out listening about him, not just with songs, but maybe even podcasts. Maybe even some of you have never actually read the Bible. I'm not too good at reading. All right, listen to it. Lots of great translations I recommend. The ESV, the NASB. I think the Christian Standard is good. New King James. And go King James. That's tough. That's tough sledding, but it's... Sorry. So read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, the epistles. Some of you, your next step of moving towards God, getting closer to Jesus, you need to obey him, friend. You just need to do what he says. You've read a ton. You've studied it. You're better at the Greek than I am. You know what a predicate nominative is without looking it up. Now do something about it, right? Follow him. Obey him. Sacrifice your comfort zone. Some of you, your step is going to look like praying and sharing who this great I am is with those close to you. And maybe even those that aren't so close to you. Maybe you need to back on the forgiveness or the obedience things. You need to forgive. Or you need to ask for forgiveness. I have a couple other things I'm going to talk to you about on the Live It Out video, so I'll leave that there. But the move is yours. I'm just throwing some stuff out there. There's questions for you. Discuss this. Enjoy it. Pick it apart. Come up with your own questions. Read this all over again. These are just some of the ways. As Jeffrey was talking about blasphemy, Jesus forgave people their sins. That is a direct claim to divinity. That means being God. And so if he wasn't God, it was blasphemy. If he is God, then it's him saying, I'm God. Your move. By the way, he says to the man that was lowered down to him, your sins are forgiven. he didn't actually bring himself there. His friends brought him there. And Jesus saw their faith and forgave him. And then he knew what people were thinking in their heads. He's God. Let's follow him. Let's worship him. And let's go get our kids. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us first. We thank you, Jesus, so much for not being subtle. I mean, there is ways that you were subtle, but gosh, what we just read right here, Lord, you were so straightforward. You are the great I am. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We pray for our own minds. We pray for moving nearer to you and towards you, and we ask, God, that you would show us how to do that. Whether it's knowing your word more, believing it, sharing it, obeying it. God, what would you have us to do? As Joe said, can we listen to you more? Not just tell you what's what, but let you tell us who you are. May we get closer to you, draw nearer to you, and help others to do the same. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.